자, 빠밤.
Hello and welcome to Burst the Bubble on 97.2 Cam FM. I'm Chris Smoten and I'm here with my regular co-host Michael Contario.
Good evening.
And our guest Dave Birch.
Ahoy hoy.
We're going to be talking about some silly news stories today. What's our first news story today, Michael?
Well, our first story today is a robotic story. This is robotic prison wardens are being developed to patrol prisons in South Korea.
Huh, I see. Okay, so, you know, sort of Terminator style, you know, like guns and lasers, you know, maiming.
No, certainly. The machines will monitor inmates for abnormal behaviour, apparently, and in fact, they're currently working on making them seem less scary for the inmates.
Seem less scary, but not be less scary. They're careful to avoid that. So what do the robots actually do? Like, what, if they did find you exhibiting abnormal behaviour, like, I don't know, standing on your head and reciting Shakespeare, then what would the robot do?
They alert human guards. So basically what they're actually saying is they've put a camera on a stick with wheels and then just programmed it to... If it detects anything abnormal, then...
Not anything abnormal, just risky behaviour, such as violence or suicide.
Yeah, when they're saying that,
so Shakespeare's fine.
They did say abnormal early in the news story, so which makes me think that violence in prisons, I would guess, not
normal
necessarily
or abnormal?
That abnormal.
Yeah. At least concerning.
Yes, definitely concerning. You don't want your violence in prisons, or outside of prisons, frankly. They don't want it basically anywhere outside of a boxing ring. So I think we should deploy these robots to everywhere that's not a boxing ring.
And then if there's violence somewhere else in the world, they can go and alert a human guard?
Yes, or a police officer.
Okay.
Report to the nearest prison, yeah. So I guess the laser gun is pretty much an add-on at this point.
Yeah, the thing is, I believe the company that's actually... there's another South Korean company which is developing robotic gun turrets, which in my head, I just get the ones from the Portal video
robotic
games.
Robotic gun turrets that will be programmed to open fire automatically. Yeah.
As opposed to be programmed to open fire when someone pulls the trigger, like, say, a gun.
Yeah. Robotic gun turrets, which are
it's really
actually
all you
robotic.
Can do.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe.
You could do it half and half. You could have the robotic bit aim, and then the human choose to kill it or not.
You could have it open fire only when a human shouts, fire!
Yeah, it would allow for unusually incompetent soldiers to take part in your gunning duties.
Yep. I do believe that actually a lot of people... in kind of like the army cadets and stuff, up to a certain point they're not allowed even fake ammunition, and so they do actually just run around with fake guns shouting bang. I believe that's actually a thing. So all they have to do is change that to fire, and they would be trained with these almost instantaneously.
It would be quite bad if there wasn't actual fire though.
Yeah, we're not going to equip fire engines with these. That would be a big mistake.
No, it's more your person runs into the lobby of your hotel shouting, fire, fire, there's a fire, and all the automatic gun turrets gun everyone down. Thus dealing with the need to rescue them.
We're accompanying the police today, lads, so if you wouldn't mind describing it as flambe, that would be really, really useful.
Okay. The thing I love most about this news story, I think it's on the BBC, is the last line of the article, which just points out that another company in South Korea is developing a Robot Land theme park. So I spent the entire day just looking at that, rather than this story.
Can you explain more?
They're opening a robot-themed theme park in South Korea. The report on the BBC is about 15 minutes long and has a very small segment devoted to it, which casually informs you that it will contain dancing robots in the foyer, a museum as a history of robotics, and a 56-meter-tall battle death robot holding up the highest point of the roller coaster. They conclude by saying, if you don't like robots, don't go to Robot Land, which is sound advice.
It seems fair. So does the huge death robot, can that actually move?
I don't think... I don't know.
Because that would imply reconfiguring the roller coaster, which would be pretty cool. I'm imagining that, like, the roller coaster would stop and then the death robot would move the track or something, you know, like a really elaborate set of points.
I'm slightly worried about the concept of a death robot being responsible for any part of the structure, frankly. Because if it is programmed to be a death robot rather than just a structural robot, surely the only way for it to fulfill its programming is to cause a horrible accident.
Mm. Much like the prison robots, death is only part of its job. Everybody focuses on the death aspect.
The gentleman they interviewed did say the problem with normal theme parks like Disneyland and so on is that the characters they have aren't developing or growing or evolving. Whereas in Robotland, that would always be the case, that we'd have the newest robotics coming in. So I think that's worrying. We're getting into taking over the world.
Yeah, I don't think you can actually talk about a robot news story without ending or middling or starting with, and then they take over the world somewhere. It's just against the laws of...
Whereas massive numbers of, like, low-paid employees dressed up as Minnie Mouse, that very rarely happens.
Not all... everyone dressed up as Minnie Mouse.
I don't know, they do have a lot of power.
It'd be quite terrifying.
Back in 2006, Disneyland, like, really messed up their order and ended up with, like, a billion Minnie Mouse costumes, so that's all they have now.
But, yes, I want to know how they're going to make this look more friendly to inmates. Because basically, at the moment, it's just kind of like, I think three wheels on the bottom, then kind of like this weird blocky bit, and a slightly creepy head where the eyes look almost empty.
Have you seen the teaching robots they've got to teach languages?
Oh, are those the ones with the ridiculously large lips?
No, the new ones have like an LCD screen, a bit like an iPad for a face, with a little animated glowing picture of like two circles and a happy line, and it emotes through emoticons, which is incredibly creepy.
How do you go about... Okay, now we've determined how to make it more creepy. How do we make it less creepy?
You could replace it with a human.
You could make an absolutely perfect Sim Outcome of a human. That's pretty much where we're heading with this, right?
Yeah, but I think we're quite a way off that. We've got the Uncanny Valley to deal with first.
Yeah, we've got to go through Uncanny Valley before we reach Cylons.
It's pretty much fine to put prisons in the Uncanny Valley, isn't it? I mean, that could be part of the punishment, is that you're just pretty creeped
you're
out. Creeped
out all the time. It's like, you get let out, you're like, I never want to go back there. It's really creepy.
If you're an actual human working in the prison, they give you compulsory cosmetic surgery, so you're just not quite right, like in a totally indefinable way.
Perhaps this is something that can be extended, so that rather than just the people in prisons, it's more than that. You just have like prisons where the floors are slightly tilted. In fact, what I'm advocating is we turn the prison into a haunted house, basically, is what I'm advocating here.
Are you also saying that it creeps you out when the floor is ever so slightly tilted?
It's a cumulative effect. It's just one small aspect of what would creep me out.
Maybe if all the furniture was mounted on casters, and then you'd look over and you'd be like, has that table moved? I'm pretty sure that wasn't exactly there just a moment ago. It's haunted. There's robots. They're coming to kill us.
You need a robotic table for that.
Maybe they'll have robotic tables in Robotland.
So we could replace the robots with just like big knives on casters, and then all we need is for the troublemakers to be downhill. We need some sort of scheme which encourages those who we might otherwise wish to deploy the discipline bot inclined to go to low altitudes. If we can do that, everything will work out.
Well, we know that criminals generally are at the bottom of society.
Are you implying that we could be able to program robots to just go lower down in society?
Maybe we could program them to operate off metaphor rather than physics.
Or we could just dig a big hole in, like, South Yorkshire. I'm imagining that to be the base of society. Let's be fair, they should also dig a big hole in Suffolk. There you go.
Now we've offended two different populations of people rather than just one.
We all know none of those populations are listening.
Well, Hypothetically, if they were, they would be offended. Maybe. I'm not going to decide. They can decide for themselves. We should send this, send the recording of this to those people to, so they can decide if they want to be offended or not.
Email us and let us know if you're offended.
Yeah. Earlier in the day, I got a bit huge bell jar, and I evacuated it completely of air to the point that sound could not travel. And then I said some terrible things. So if those offend you... It certainly offended me, as it was really painful. But I think it was worth it for this experiment in profanity. What I'm saying is, if I cuss out the interior of a hard vacuum, like, does a tree fall in the forest?
If you've got any solutions to that conundrum, or you would like to comment on the robot story, or just tell us things about what you think about robots taking over the world, not taking over the world, being made more friendly, anything of the above, you can email us, studio@chemfm.co.uk. You can go onto our website, www.chemfm.co.uk, and use the web form there. Or you can text us by texting CAM plus your message to 80809, and text will cost 10p plus your standard message rate.
We're going to take a quick musical break whilst we line up the stories for the next bit, but we'll be back with more silly news stories in just a moment.
On air and online.
For students across Cambridge.
Your station.
Your CAM FM.
Hello and welcome back to Burst the Bubble. You're listening to CAM FM 97.2. We're going to talk about some more silly news stories now. First and foremost, the explosion of parking meters by pesky vandals in Lewes in East Sussex. What have they been up to, Michael?
Well, you pretty much summed it up well there, that since 2004, when the local councils basically introduced on-street parking charges to ease congestion, people have been blowing up, not just damaging, but actually exploding parking meters around the town. And this has cost about more than £20,000 for the council, which has had to be recouped, ironically, through increased parking charges.
But not to the particular person who grenaded the parking meter. So, yeah, I guess it worked. Though I can't imagine I'm not educated on the matter, but I imagine a grenade is pretty expensive. Or, whatever it is you're using to explode them is pretty pricey. You're going to have to pay quite a lot of parking fines before it's worth exploding the meter. Especially when you could achieve something very similar with a Commonwealth Garden golf club. You know, you could walk up to the parking meter and go, thwack, no more parking meter, awesome. And yet their chosen approach is to blow them up, which suggests that they have some, there's an ulterior motive here. There has to be more to it than just they don't want the parking meter to be there anymore.
They haven't taken any of the money out of the parking meters they've blown up. One apparently was destroyed completely and they left the money behind.
Ah, okay. Yeah, okay, so they don't want the money. They presumably don't want... Well, they mustn't want the parking meter to be there. Hmm. Otherwise, they're doing it wrong. If they just wanted, if they were, today, parking will go off with a bang or something,
I think mostly what they're doing is going, yeah, explosions are cool. And we want to get rid of some parking meters, and therefore they have decided to combine these in the obvious fashion, rather than separately causing explosions and destroying parking meters.
Yeah, which is much more cost effective.
I think actually, just small explosives are quite cheap if you buy in bulk, and actually it would be cost effective to blow the parking meter up rather than pay it if you were parking there every day.
So what we need to look at which parking meters have been exploded, and therefore we can have one of those giant maps that you see in cop shows that don't actually seem to exist in real life, with pins stuck in them. And then we go, we need to find the person who visits all of these addresses.
Maybe there's a message, maybe they spell out a word or something if you put them on a map.
I'm expecting the word to be, stuff parking charges or something. They've blown up more than 200 metres, so they can actually get some quite complex lettering going on there.
Mm. It was £20,000 worth of damage in the last few months, but £300,000 worth of damage since parking metres were brought in.
Oh, yes, I knew there was a three somewhere.
The story says that they cost £3,000 each, these parking metres, which seems like a lot to me. And they're offering a reward to find the person who's causing them £3,000 worth of damage every time they're blowing up, a reward of £1,250 for information that leads to a conviction.
Okay.
So that's just under a third of a parking... No, just over a third of a parking meter.
So the second most effective way to park in Lewes, aside from exploding the meters, is to camp the meters and then shop the guy who's juggling a grenade and looking shifty.
Pretty much.
You can park quite a lot of times for that. like 1250. I'd quite like, if I got 1250 from that, I'd go and deposit it all in the meter, like one particular meter, and watch as the clock sort of goes the fourth millennium.
If you put enough money in, then maybe the clock will go into overdrive and you'll break the parking meter.
It'd be quite a philanthropic way to fight parking fines. See, you essentially paid them off. It's like, if the parking meters were cops, then it would be equivalent to just parking up and sort of handing him a briefcase full of 20s and go, why not go to the movies?
Well, there was a gentleman in America back in, like, 2000 who called himself the parking meter fairy, dressed up in a tutu with a little magic wand and went around paying off parking meters that were about to expire so that people... He would stalk parking wardens and then check the parking meters before they did and pay them off if they were overdue so that no one would get any parking fines.
So did he leave a calling card? So you would know it was the parking meter fairy and not just a broken...
No, it was just like, totally it was just good-natured. Although he was also a large man wearing a pink tutu with a fairy wand.
I'm just imagining now some sort of foot race when they're around the corner and they just sort of turn and look at each other in sort of like Clint Eastwood style with
Wild
squinty eyes. There, just like the warden has his pen tucked into one pocket, his book of tickets into the other pocket. And the parking fairy to fairy has like 20p's tucked in your pocket.
Yeah, just a handful of change.
Yeah, and they've both like got their hands right near their pockets, ready to go, seeing who will blink first. And then all of a sudden, one of them moves and they both go zooming off towards the parking meter. The parking meter fairy gets slightly ahead. The parking warden tries to grab onto the back of his shirt to pull him back. But the bit of the... but actually grabs the tutu and a bit of it comes off in his hand and the fairy goat gets there. Smashes his 20 piece down into the meter and is victorious.
I'm not sure I like the tutu angle on this. I was already thinking that the parking meter fairy, if you weren't appropriately grateful, would like the next day he'd find your car and then just like lie on the bonnet of your car waiting for you to come back. Just so passers by just think that's kind of your bonnet ornament.
He does also come around and give you 20p if you leave a parking meter under your pillow.
And it's really hard to sleep with an entire parking meter under your pillow.
That's quite sneaky to get it out without waking you up.
Yeah, perhaps this is what the person blowing them up in Lewis has been trying to do. He's actually not trying to blow them up, he's trying to disconnect them from the floor. And then
get some... his pillow.
But all he has is a grenade, so every problem looks like a horrible fragmentation damage.
Yeah, something like that, perhaps, yeah.
I'd advise looking at where the explosions are and seeing if they spelled something. Could be a good way to kill an afternoon.
I think we should find out what billionaire lives in Lewis and has just like loads of Second World War ordnance and is incredibly bored. And then you're going to get your man.
Are you imagining that some sort of like strange vigilante, like
yeah,
Batman?
Imagining that Batman was unusually uninspired, or set up in Lewis. You know, was going to like fight organized crime until he realized it was Lewis, and there was no organized crime, and that like he'd pinched like little Jimmy the Rascal, the only guy who ever robs anything ever in Lewis, like a dozen times until Jimmy had finally gone, I'm moving, and now he's bored, so he's got all that ordnance, nothing to fight, parking meters. What the local council needs to do is to stage some crimes. They need to get like a council employee to like sit around on the street corner going, would you like any of my finest cocaine, which is obviously like icing sugar or something, because nobody in Lewis would buy or sell or traffic cocaine. And yeah, then your billionaire will show up and sort of go, I'm fighting organized crime. And you'll be like, give me your grenade. And you'll be like, there goes my plan for the afternoon. Problem solved.
I like to imagine that they'd actually have to get someone to dress up in some sort of costume to be some sort of supervillain to actually attract the attention.
If you want to lure the person who's blowing the parking meters up, you just need to get one really big parking meter. You know, maybe with a stepladder so people can pay it.
this parking meter is for if you want to park a tank or something.
Or a monster truck.
Maybe a really hugely outsized one, which is for if you want to park a small county town. On which Lewis is, you know, it's like essentially the meter contains the council budget.
Or a 56-meter tall death robot.
Yes, that's definitely the thing that... But then you manage to sort of... Perhaps, actually, they should turn a parking meter into a robot that will be able to alert the authorities.
Transformers, the bureaucratic age.
And I'm sure those people in South Korea would be able to do that, no problem, or probably not much more than £3,000.
Hmm. Yeah.
In this particular case, you probably want to make the robot approach the person who owes the parking meter rather than the authorities, because that way if you cram a grenade in it, it's going to sort of go, it's going to like follow you down the street. And you'll go, no, I only put like a 2-minute fuse on that thing. Basically,
I only paid for 2 minutes.
How's that, Chris? Basically, you...
I want to recreate Benny Hill, is essentially what I'm saying here, in which you post a bomb in the robot and then run down the street going, no, and the robots are like, pay. You will end up paying the parking shortly before it explodes. And of course, once you put the money in, it will then return to your car and blow up next to your car. So there's really no good solution here. You're like, what you need to do is to sort of
to not blow parking meters up.
You need to lead it away for like the fuse time of your grenade, like 3/4 of that time, and then put the pound in the meter, and then it will return like 1/3 of the distance to your car, and then blow up somebody else's car. And that's the only way you can manage it. And you know, inevitably, when it turns around, there'll be like grannies and like ducklings and kittens and stuff.
I think he was a smart criminal. He just managed to time this so that it was back outside the council offices again.
Or next to another parking meter. Collateral.
Yeah. Oh, you could kind of put some things into parking meters so that, like, when the criminal comes in there and tries to put some explosive in, there's like already some pre-primed explosive in there, so the shockwave catches the criminal.
Well, you could just use a camera.
That's far too boring.
We have mined our parking meters. They were exploding, so we're going to make sure they really explode. This one's going to knock out a block.
Warning, please follow this parking meter. no money is kept in this parking meter overnight.
There is no more parking meter-related violence in Lewis, largely because there is no longer Lewis. We're founding a new town to replace what is now known as the Big Hole of Lewis.
Moving on, we've got another couple of traffic-related stories, which is that we're going to move on to the fact that a man has painted a large 30-mile-per-hour speed sign on the side of his house in a Devon village called, I'm not sure if it's Bow or Bow.
I think it's Bow.
In Bow.
Or Bow.
So why did he paint a massive 30-mile-an-hour speed limit sign on the side of his house, except for the obvious reason of making traffic go slow?
Because there are lots of pedestrians crossing to a shop near there, and there aren't any signs near there.
And people keep driving fast, yes. We should say, when we say large, it is 15 feet tall.
Yes, which is actually the size of 3 prison robots.
It is indeed. It's also the size of his house.
He didn't buy a bigger house for the specific purposes of this scheme.
The county council there has responded to this by saying that his tests revealed most drivers kept the 30-mile-per-hour speed limit, but it was aware of residents' concerns.
Now, it certainly is now. Every time they drive past his house, they're like, I've been shrunk! Oh, no, it's just that stupid guy. Never mind, carry on.
Yes,
it's just aware of residents' concerns. It's kind of like, I've got a problem, council. We are aware of your concerns.
We're aware you have a problem.
Are you going to do anything about it?
Your problem is important to us.
We are aware.
Dear Mr. Council, I have stepped in this bear trap. Pleased to be removing the bear trap. We are aware of the bear trap situation and will continue to monitor the bear trap situation. Which is to say, the mayor will stand next to you going, yeah, shouldn't have stood in the woods.
The big problem with their council statement that they say most people drive to the speed limit, which entirely misses the point that some people don't. They also say that they did an average speed test. They
measured
everyone's
speed. And that was the mean. So. Yeah.
Well, what they do when they do this is they get a couple of people in high-vis jackets with a speed gun to set up in the middle of town where they're very visible and pointed at every car that goes past. And surprisingly, they find that the average speed is below the speed limit. With the men in high-vis jackets pointing a speed gun at you, I'm not surprised that people travel below the speed limit. Mm-hmm. The average was 27.2, which is actually quite close.
The Mr. Backhouse, which is a fantastic name. The brilliant name that he has in fact painted the side of his house, Mr. Backhouse, said he painted the sign as part of Road Safety Week UK and would paint over it on 5th of December. So the question is, what is he going to paint over it? Is he in fact going to paint a picture of lots of people in high-vis jackets with a speed gun?
See if it's better.
Yeah, you could do, like, just compare it. You can go, what causes people to slow down most? A 30-mile-per-hour sign that's like 15 foot high. Some people in high-vis jackets pointing a speed gun. A giant tentacled monster about to slope off into the road in front of you.
You could try a no-entry sign or a dead-end sign.
Yeah. You go work your way through the complete highway code and see which one sign, like, makes people slow down the best. I'm going to bet on danger key side.
Oh, you could go for some of those really obscure ones that no one actually knows what they mean. It'll just really confuse all the people coming in. They'll go, ah, I'm not sure what's in front, but I probably better slow down.
Think about it.
Yeah, there's very few road signs which will go, perhaps I should speed up.
You could, if you didn't like what the guy was getting at, there's probably a few signs that you could paint over it. Like if you snuck up and painted a sign over it to basically give him what for.
The obvious one is to change the 3 to an 8.
Or you could paint over the whole thing with danger elderly people. danger mentally infirm. There probably isn't such a sign. That'd be a very cruel road sign to post, one that says that this district is occupied by the unusually dull of brain. I think that there's subcodes that are against integrating that into the highway code, so you probably can't do that.
Or you could just go for something entirely surreal and bizarre. I know, actually, back at home, there was some company who wanted to put an advert on a big building on the side of a roundabout, and the council were worried that it would be distracting for drivers, so they weren't allowed to put a sign up there. But then they looked into the rules and found out that you don't actually need planning permission for abstract art. Mm-hmm. And so they just painted a giant pink eyeball on the side of this building.
Perfect.
Which, of course, is entirely not distracting in the slightest.
As part of Liverpool's Capital of Culture celebrations, they put about 20 metres long giant mechanical spider that piloted by 8 people, and they walked it down the street and then climbed a building and left it there for a week. This is 20 metres long giant spider on the side of a skyscraper in the middle of the city. Accidents, I think, did go up.
Was it a robotic giant spider?
Yeah, it was a robotic giant spider, actually.
So could it have also been monitoring to see if people were parking all right nearby?
It could have been watching, I guess. The spiders have lots of eyes, so they can watch lots of places at once.
And they can take a fair few grenades. So, you know.
Yeah, as they walked down the street, they accidentally knocked over all the parking meters.
Lewis now patrolled by enormous giant spider with 6 hit points.
Moving on, we've got one more traffic-related story here.
I can't believe we have 3 traffic stories.
I know. It's almost like they just forgot about them for a while and was like, ah, the road network, that exists. There may be news involved with this. But this is the fact that a driving instructor has written a song teaching the rules of the roundabout.
He has indeed, yes. He's written a ditty in which he basically plays some sort of fairly standard sort of upbeat pop melody and then reads aloud from the highway code.
Sorry.
No attempt is made at rhyme, structure, meter, rhythm. None of it. No.
All
you need is a copy of the highway code and 3 chords and one of those Casio keyboards that will render those 3 chords in the most irritating style that of which man can conceive.
I started laughing because you said it was a trendy pop melody. I listened to this 3 times trying to work out what the tune was because it wasn't that clear, but I knew I'd heard it somewhere. And the tune is, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
Ah, okay.
And it took me 3 listens to work that out.
In my defense, I don't think I alleged that it was trendy. I alleged that it was upbeat. And I think there's no quarrel that happy and you know it is upbeat.
It is upbeat.
And it's popular.
Possibly timeless.
It felt timeless when I was watching it. Endless, that's the one.
it's interesting that of the YouTube comments, these are like, hey, good on you. And some of them are like, hang on a minute. During this pop song, he is driving a car looking at the camera rather than the road. Also, if you interpret his lyrics in a certain way, they're slightly incorrect.
And also, if you watch it, they've got film of him breaking several driving regulations in order to make the film, yes, with examples of what you shouldn't do.
So he made himself a brief music video surrounding this, which mainly consists of this same one shot of him standing on some local landmark playing the guitar, whilst somebody sort of ineptly manoeuvres a mobile phone camera from quite some distance.
I thought the production values were quite high, actually, and for the YouTube video.
And then there is an ongoing plot in which a comedy policeman chases him round and round and round about for committing various roundabout-related offences.
It's the height of entertainment.
The best bit is the first bit involving this cyclist, where the cyclist is coming around the roundabout, and this guy, who I should point out, is in his own driving instruction car, because he's actually a driving instructor, this guy, and pulls out in front of him, and the cyclist, rather than braking, kind of like then turns around and carries on cycling down the wrong side of the road that this car has just pulled out from, and just, you know, like with his legs kind of splayed out, but not actually appearing to be out of control at all. Now it just looks like,
I've done that before,
it just looks like someone is just deliberately driving the wrong way down the road with the legs akimbo. Yeah,
dressed as a policeman. Well worth watching.
This was take two after take one, where he very naturalistically face planted the road and then decided that was the end.
Take one, they lost their first policeman.
They had to find a comedy policeman instead.
I think the complete plot was introduced after they test screened it to their first subject and he died.
It's like, rats, we've lost the serious policeman, send in the comedy policeman.
It was so low quality of production, it killed the audience. Quick, send the comedy policeman for the good of the city.
Oh dear. Yes.
I don't think there's much else to say about this, as far as I know. It's mostly just a really bad video.
If you want to share in our pain, Google the roundabout song. Probably YouTube the roundabout song.
We have actually had an email from a mysterious listener who said, clearly the traffic-related stories are like buses. There aren't any for ages. There aren't any for ages, and three come at once.
Oh, very good.
I would take my hat off to you. Were I wearing a hat?
I will fashion a hat during the forthcoming break and then remove it, because it will be rubbish. Now then, I think, speaking of musical breaks, I think it's time to take one. If you've got any comments on any of the stories we've been talking about in this section, you can email us on studio@camfm.co.uk. If you have any better stories we should have been talking about in this section, you can also email us studio@camfm.co.uk, or use the box on the website. If you're listening online, there should be a box near the thing that you clicked to make the listen thing happen. You can also text us 80809, write cam and then a message. This will cost you 10 of your English pence. Now then, let's take that musical break. We will be back talking about more silly news stories in just a moment.
Your city,
your station,
your Cam FM.
Hello and welcome back to Burst the Bubble on Cam FM. We're, this is a story. I'll start that segment again, shall I?
Yes, that was
hello.
That was quite illiterate.
Burst the Bubble on Cam FM. You'll see why Dave's remark was appropriate when we talk about our next silly news story, in which a burglar who has been ordered to send a letter of apology to their victim did so by basically lecturing them on how they ought to have secured their home and how it was their fault, given that they had not in fact done so.
You said that they had not in fact done so.
That they hadn't secured their home. Well,
Right.
Apparently the mistakes they had made included they'd left one of their windows open, and they left their curtains open so you can see what's in there and so on.
And they lived in Staines.
Basically, the burglar makes... Was it Staines?
Yeah, Stainborough.
Oh, okay. I thought it said Stainburns, but that might be something else.
Is that not Staines? Let's assume it's Staines.
Staines, or a place which can reasonably be confused with Staines, is apparently a high-crime area where you shouldn't be doing such things. And so basically the burglar's rationale is that, well, you know, walking past the house, somebody's going to rob that. It might as well be me.
and finished off by saying, "I don't feel sorry for you, and I'm not going to show any sympathy or remorse." And there are lots of spelling errors in this letter, but the thing that really gets me is that every single letter S appears to be a capital.
Yeah,
it is. Yes, it's a strange. It's
a strange hand. Yeah, the news reports have shown a scan of the letter rather than just reporting it, so you can look at it for yourself.
Yeah, and this was reported in the Daily Telegraph for context here, who described they described it as being littered with appalling spelling, and which was so abusive it was never sent to the victims.
Despite saying that the victim abused the burglar abuses his victims in the apology letter, but abusing them by not sending them any apology letter.
It wasn't particularly abusive either. It's sort of the most abusive that I think it called them dumb at one point, which as abuse goes is, you know,
happens on the street every day.
It's not going to knock your sainted aunt off her perch, is what I'm saying here. But the littered with spelling mistakes is also pretty cruel. It's sort of like, yeah, it misses the Y off the end of sympathy, which is an odd one. You know,
Sympath.
That seems like, you know, by sounding the word, you'd be like,
I'm a sympath.
This needs more. And remorse is spelt remorse and things like that. But it's going by the grand standard of really, really poor communication, which is YouTube comments, then this thing, you know, this thing is in the top decile of YouTube quality of communication.
It doesn't even say, like, A+ will drop again or anything like that.
Yeah. If I was like a secondary school English teacher, I'd be giving this a B. Probably could communicate with fellow person. You know,
not people, just fellow person, specifically one.
I could find at least one example of a person with whom this would constitute adequate communication. B.
So the police have been slated a bit for releasing this, but the reason they did it is because it's actually got quite a few good examples of, you know, what things not to do in order to, or what things to do in order to secure your house against burglary. The examples illustrated are really good examples of things that you should have tried to avoid.
Oh yeah. Yeah, his criticisms are fair enough. The only bit where his logic breaks down was, "and therefore I stole your stuff."
Yes. The thing I love about this letter is it starts, "Dear victim," which is just wonderful. Yeah, yeah. And it ends as like, "I'm not going to show you any sympathy at all. Yours sincerely."
Well, it says "yours sincerely," and then there's a pixelated out name. Yeah. And then further down it says "from," and then there's a different pixelated out name, which suggests that perhaps, you know, they weren't too firm on "yours sincerely" and how it's supposed to be used. So they wrote it and
could be a signature.
And then later thought, "I'm not sure those words actually do what I'm hoping for them to do. So let's be clear, from."
I think it says "yours sincerely," actually.
I think so, yeah. Mm. Something which could reasonably be confused with sincerely, at least. I was quite impressed by the report of the burglary, and it seemed to indicate that he'd basically emptied their house, which was quite impressive, you know. It's like, as burglaries go, this is pretty hard work. You know, apparently he nicked a PlayStation 3, two TVs, two speakers, a camcorder, and a camera, which is quite, you know, he made several trips in order to achieve this, or came with a trolley in order to move all his stuff, because he couldn't have come with a car because he's 16. Although, thinking about it, he could have stolen a car and then attended with that car. Never mind.
One interesting thing is that you're saying how the police have released this because it's all good advice, but that they haven't actually said anything about the person living in a high crime area. Everything else, they go, "Ah, oh, yes, this is good advice." making sure that you don't leave your window unlocked. And
but even
like
the
that.
Police couldn't bring themselves to say, "We advise you leave stains."
Stainburns.
Abandon Stainborough / Stainburns / wherever it is. I believe West Yorkshire was stated at the top, actually, so it's probably not Staines, which I believe to be London.
It's in London, yeah.
Borough, or one of those horrible satellite town things. Is that about right?
No, I'm not sure.
I don't know. I know that Ali G is from there.
Okay. And Alan Davies? No.
Yeah, Alan Davies and Ali G are easily confused.
Alan Davies is not Ali G. Let us be absolutely clear on that. And neither of them, I have reason to believe, come from West Yorkshire.
I really love the councillor who represents the area where the burglary occurred. The local councillor has said, "How dare he? He is so cheeky."
He's so darn cheeky.
Oh, this lovable scamp.
But that is about right, though. He, like, his level of misdemeanor here is very much in the lovable scamp territory, if a slightly abusive lovable scamp. But the Telegraph has activated the rage machine that turns going a bit cheeky into downfall of society, don't you know?
I thought it was quite, the way it was written was quite funny, so I was laughing too much to really be outraged by it, despite the Telegraph's attempts to make me outraged.
You know, I like to imagine that the heating in the Telegraph building goes.
I am actually thinking that one of the best things that could happen to this guy now is if he got contracted to write a newspaper column. So he'd have an editor who could deal with all the spelling and grammar mistakes.
They add to the charm. And, but,
if you ever seen, you know, very occasionally somebody's getting a lot of flack on the internet, like they've written an article for The Sun or something, and they're getting a huge amount of comeback on the internet, and then they decide to take matters into their own hands, and you suddenly see how they write when they're not being edited. And their standard is pretty similar to what we're seeing here.
This level of grammatical ability is about what the Daily Mail puts out.
Yeah, and like it you know, it's like it was reasonably well structured. You know, you could imagine the burglar perhaps writing a brief plan of his letter prior to writing the letter proper, in which he's like, "Okay,
I'm going to
open by asserting that they're stupid. Then I'm going to go into specific stupidities, and then I'll close by reiterating that I'm not particularly sorry." And that you should go hang. I will then close with one or other form of yours sincerely or from. Or possibly both.
Yeah, also, it does have yours sincerely, and it has what I'm assuming is the address of the victim in the top right, so...
That's a proper letter. Better than most people know how to do.
I think we should point out that we're in no way advocating the theft. We find the letter amusing, despite the fact that if I got sent that by someone who nicked my stuff, I would be pretty peeved. But we're looking at the funny side. That's what we do. We're not going for serious.
I don't think it should count towards shortening his sentence. although his sentences are quite short. However, it's quite humorous.
The one thing he probably should be taught is throughout the letter he consistently uses anyways, where you might hope to use anyway, which suggests to me that in his mind he's writing this in the voice of a 30s gangster. You know, he's like...
Maybe he is a 30s
gangster. He's being an Italian mafioso, in which he's like, anyways, boss. But apart from bringing him down to earth to good old-fashioned English crime, then... then a job at the Daily Mirror is just what the doctor ordered.
And now we're going to move on to another entirely unrelated story, because apart from the traffic stories, we couldn't manage to shoehorn any of these into groups. And this one is a happier story, which is that in St. Pancras Station, there is now a huge Lego Christmas tree.
I guess this is a traffic story. It's a public transport story.
Okay.
Do you mean like... Oh, I see. I thought you meant like trafficking, as in
trafficking. Yeah, like they smuggled the Lego box in at a time.
They've been trafficking in Lego.
I didn't write down how tall this Christmas tree is, but it's really, really big. It's got 600,000 bricks in it.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, 600,000 bricks, 12.2 meters high, apparently.
Nah, so not quite as tall as the giant battle robot.
Not yet.
But taller than the 30 mile per hour sign.
The giant battle robot could totally beat it up. And it's probably more soundly constructed.
I'm just loving the fact that this is in a newspaper. It's kind of like, there's a Christmas tree made out of Lego. Yeah.
It is the world's tallest Lego tree ever.
Yeah, yes, but
that makes it a record.
But then again, perhaps that guy's 30 mile per hour sign is the world's largest 30 mile per hour sign. The fact that it's the world's largest just means that no one's actually cared enough to try and make it big before.
It's a good point.
I think Lego tree, like enormous Lego structures, though, people have been trying pretty hard for. You know, it's like certainly when I was a kid, the main thing you did was get all the Lego and see how much of a massive tower you could get. That and build a sword. I had a somewhat degenerate childhood.
Yeah, I thought most people went for houses.
Oh, that was
we did spaceships. So.
Except for my friend stole all of the thin bits, so I was faced with building a sword out of only the regular, you know, 4x2 chunky ones. Let me tell you, that's completely impossible. I ended up with what was basically a club, which was on the verge of falling to pieces just by bearing it. And then the second it was touched in even the slightest way, it exploded into like 1,000 pieces. So
really, 1,000? Because Lego actually sticks together quite a lot. I'm just going to imagine someone hitting something and it just breaking into two. But they're actually yes, all still being.
That's a normal way. Or you get yeah. one extra little bit that falls out.
This thing was built
you stand on it.
Unusually badly. See, I'm wondering about this tree. You know, it's like, I'm thinking, in order to make such a massive construction out of Lego, you've either got to cheat and use those ones that are technically single bricks but are absolutely massive sheets of plastic. Or this is, you know, this thing's going to be really teetering, you know? Mm. Like, you don't want a pigeon to
you
land
can,
on this.
I think with the large Lego structures that they use for public displays, they do glue the bricks together to make it a bit more solid. They might have done that. Because it's not... The bottom part, the bottom branches of the tree are like easily within reach, so you could just go and take pieces off. We're not advocating that you go and dismantle this tree. I should just say that, but it's within reach, so I'm imagining they've at least glued the bottom together to stop that.
I'm quite frankly surprised that they managed to find so many dark green bricks.
Dark green bricks are a pain to get. You can get dark green bases, the square ones that you build the house on, but other than that, dark green bricks are actually. I know far too much about Lego. Stop me now. They're a non-standard colour. You can't buy them in any regular thing. You have to specifically order them from Lego.
Is this like that one colour of M&Ms that's almost impossible to find?
Purple, yeah.
The legendary white Smarties.
Oh, no, the blue one, yeah.
White Smarties were the tastiest as well. They were the secret treasure that kept you coming back. kept you slave to the Smartie addiction.
One thing here is... Quite a lot of time, Christmas trees in public displays, they'll every now and again, there'll be one of those animatronic ones.
Oh, yeah, they move around, they dance.
They just dance or sing. And Lego do, in fact, make a robotics kit. So we've got, in fact, have a 12.2 metres high robotic Christmas tree.
We issue this as a challenge to the listeners. Just build a dancing Lego Christmas tree and send us a picture.
Oh. So send us a video. Yeah.
At least it's not where you live, whereas usually those horrible Christmas robots, they like festoon. Like they've usually been bought by some distant aunt who knew she wouldn't have to suffer and has bought those horrible, horrible robots which sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer when you walk within 100 yards of them. And like vibrate even the slightest, you know, if a tree falls in the wood and nobody hears, this robot starts singing.
Oh, perhaps you can put
maybe that's how they work.
They detect irresolvable philosophical problems and sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer in response.
Like, it's quite the sound of one hand clapping, and then they sing, if it's happening, you know it, clap your hands.
Perhaps you could use these as a deterrent.
Yeah,
put them on top of parking meters.
I'm not going near that.
I think when I rule the world, my Christmas thing will be: I will set aside a room of my ward of my house. Sorry,
your ward
of my ward. Yes, a room of my house which contains lots of these creatures, and then have a stash of like small like firecrackers or something stationed by the door, and so like guests will be encouraged to sort of walk into this room and then go, and then they can take out their rage at the terrible, terrible Christmas caroling with said provided bombs.
Or your opponents that you've captured, you could just throw them into it as a...
probably remove the bombs. Or like maybe there would be a bomb, but it would definitely destroy everything in the entire room. That would actually be really horrible.
You actually come back to the parking meters guy again. Are you, in fact, going off to Lewis every weekend?
So, going to what?
Going to Lewis to
oh,
park
Lewis, yes.
Lewis. Lewis is...
Yes, whether or not I go to Lewis every weekend is none of your business. I'll have you know I have a pure metabolism, which consumes all.
So, this tree took 2 months to build, it says, which means someone's been paid for 2 months to build a Lego model.
And you're that's insanely
good,
jealous.
Yeah, I'm insanely jealous. That's a good job. I want that job.
Moving on with the theme of people being paid.
Nice link there, nice link.
We've got someone who's been paid to design these Olympics uniforms, which have been released, which are purple and red.
Indeed, indeed. These are the uniforms which are to be worn by anybody who's taking basically any kind of part except for actually doing sports in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. So if you're, you know, if you're a parking warden at an Olympic venue, or you're the person who's supposed to walk around picking up hastily discarded hamburgers, then you wear this marvellous uniform, which is, yes, it's been described as having a somewhat military theme. You have, it's basically a sort of an ordinary sports jacket, but you have epaulettes on your shoulder.
And a ridiculously high neck.
Yeah, huge great collar designed to recall the red coats and whatnot, presumably scare the Americans into losing.
I was just like going, why actually is there such a big neck, and does a designer just like really hate people's necks? Because it looks like, okay, I can imagine, I can get the necks if you're going to be walking around these things in winter when it's really cold and you go, actually I would like my coat to come slightly higher so that it and my balaclava kind of actually cover
all of
me.
Assuming the weather will be terrible.
Okay, I know British weather is terrible, but this is in the height of summer.
Yeah. But we've planned a day out, so it's going to be awful.
Even worse than that, we planned like a month out.
I know. I actually quite like the design of these. They look quite smart.
Yeah, they're quite nice.
They've been saying that they're drafting in quite a lot of the military to cover all the security roles and things that haven't been covered by anybody else.
Yeah.
So they'll kind of match it, not really in colour.
Give us vaguely military-esque uniforms, which are worse than theirs.
Yeah, so we can pretend to be a police state for a few months.
They've also, in the fine traditions of British society, they are coded according to your role, like colour-coded according to your role, producing a sort of a small class system within the whole thing. You don't want to be the guy with the brown collar. You know, we all know what job you've got.
the white collar workers are the ones who are getting paid to.
I'd like to hope that they've partially adopted the Star Trek system, so that if you're in charge of a venue, you have a shining gold collar. If you're middle management, you've got a blue collar. And if your job is to stand by the track and absorb shrapnel that might come off any sporting incidents, oh yeah, you've got the red collar.
I like it. They said the person who designed it said that they intentionally designed it to be more traditional looking than the modern divisive designs for their logos and mascots, which is, I think, is a bit sad, because having all of the workers dressed up as Wenlock and Mandeville would have been brilliant. If a bit scary.
Yeah, they've had to have like a giant lens in front of their faces
to mimic one eye.
So we're about out of time for this week, but I believe we should conclude by just predicting some of the news for next week.
Wow.
Dave, Michael, do you have any suggestions for what the news stories we can expect to see in the coming 7 days?
I predict that there will be no traffic-related news at all.
I think that somebody in Lewis is going to start blowing up traffic wardens.
So somewhat alarming. Let's hope to goodness that doesn't happen, or we'll know it's you.
Or one of our listeners.
Personally, I think that the 72-foot death bot will move for the first time, and will slowly rebuild the roller coaster. But the death bot has a love of minimalism, and will rearrange the roller coaster into a perfect flat circle. Disappointing all concerned.
Just a roundabout, you mean?
Yes, and a tedious Northern Irishman will turn up, and he will sing a song, and we all feel just a little bit poorer for his intervention. And on that note, it's time we concluded. I've been Chris Moten, my co-host has been Michael Quintero, and our guest this week has been Dave Birch. We'll be back talking about more silly news, this time next week.